Blog Talk Radio.
Decency, sir, at long last. Have you left
no sense of decency.
I know this hurts.
Yeah, so that really, really hurt McCarthy. And he died a young man. He became an alcoholic, or maybe he was leaning that way. He had served in World War II, as did George Wallace. They were both gunners in what was then the U.S. Army Air Corps. Anyway, let's go to some of the birthdays today and a lot of the events on June 9th. I've still got this cold. Now, we have the guy, remember the phrase, home sweet home? Well, the guy who composed that, John Howard Payne, was born on this day. One of the great Danish composers, he was his reputation was eclipsed by the great Jan Sibelius from Finland, but Carl Nielsen wrote many symphonies and opera, Saul and David, violin concerto, great composer, very melodious music, Carl Nielsen. Another composer, an American, who came from a wealthy Indiana family. He was gay. He used to run around with Monty Woolley, who was a professor at Yale. Monty Woolley was a professor at Yale. Cole Porter's grandfather wanted him to follow in his footsteps. He was a judge, a lawyer, and he went to Yale Law School and didn't last very long. Or he spent his time composing music, and he composed the Yale fight song. And I think we have it here, Bulldog. But anyway, we'll play it another day. But also, Cole Porter was probably the last of, non-Jewish composers for Broadway and popular music, major popular music. And he was in a marriage of convenience with a wealthy Indiana woman named Linda Lee Thomas. It's played down in the movie Night and Day, which starred Cary Grant, who was also supposed to have been in the closet. But anyway, we have a little clip here, and I think we ought to play it because they don't write music like this anymore. I think that, some of these guys should go back to music school, really learn how to write really good music that's melodious and that lasts. Cole Porter had horrible accents. He, in fact, served in the French Army as a medic or as an ambulance corps, that's where he learned the rhythm for Begin the Beguine, which we'll play later this week. It's one of the most popular songs ever written by him, along with a lot of other shows. He was in a horseback accident and had many, many operations with orthopedic surgeons and was crippled for the rest of his life. But he still wrote music, and maybe some of this bitterness would come through his music, and that often happens. Beethoven was going deaf, and he wrote the greatest symphony of all, his Ninth. But here's one clip of Cole Porter in the movie Anything Goes, but Night and Day. This is Mary Martin, who came from Texas, and her son played in a TV show.
Mary Martin.
Gracie tells me you're a singer.
She does. Yeah. Well, you are. Oh, yes, I am.
Well, tell me, what's your background, Miss Martin?
I come from Weatherford, Texas.
No, I mean your musical background.
I sang the lead in all the high school plays in Weatherford, and I sang in the lobby of the hotel in Mineral Wells.
Oh, that's very impressive. Like to sing something now?
Oh, I'd love to. Ah, la la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
You have a fine voice, Miss Martin, but not exactly what I need for this number. It's sort of a just not your type. Well, now, why don't you go over this with me? Maybe that Mineral Wells training might pay off after all.
I used to fall with all those boys who mock, refined, cute, such a sweet millionaire. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play, but when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine cinnamon hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs, it simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well. But my heart belongs to Daddy. But my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well.
Well, that's some historical movie. That's part of the Brazola, Carson Brazola archives. Night and Day, starring Cary Grant, played Cole Porter, and Alexis Smith played his estranged wife, Linda Lee Thomas. They all went off. They had no children, as far as I know. Excuse me. Among the other birthdays, we'll get back to Cole Porter playing what is the theme for, I should say, American politics, Anything Goes. But among the other, I forgot Fred Waring. During the 50s and 60s, he had a choral group that was on TV often, and it was called Fred Waring and His Pennsylvanians. Very good group. They were kind of they predated the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Excuse me. we don't have a clip in our archives on him. Another musician, Les Paul, who was and Mary Ford. There's that famous guitar that's connected to Les Paul, and it's very expensive. The Secretary of Defense, he wasn't a musician. It's interesting, he has a San Francisco connection. Actually, he was he's a Californian, but he went to my school, studied accounting during World War II. Robert Strange McNamara, I don't know where that S came from. This guy had a great deep voice. He was very good correspondent when CBS was really the premier news organization, and also one of the best on TV. It was CBS, NBC, and then ABC came along later, American Broadcasting. Also, this is the day when Donald Duck was introduced, and a guy from Canada. We got a lot of our actors from Canada. Michael S. Fox, his father was a policeman in British Columbia, and Michael S. Fox, he wouldn't do any nude scenes for his video and movie appearances. He's one actor that wouldn't do that. He also suffers from Parkinson's, and he's fighting it bravely. Among the deaths today is probably the first guy who started urban renewal in the worst possible way. He started a fire in Rome and blamed it on the Jews, the Christians, I should say. And there's a classic with Peter Ustinov where he plays Nero in Quo Vadis. And Nero was part of the Claudians, descendant of Julius Caesar and that whole crowd. In fact, I, Claudius, it's an excellent TV series put together by BBC. You ought to see it if you're interested in Roman history and want to understand why things are the way they are and how little things have changed. It's just the costumes and the time frame. But people behave, politicians and public figures behave the same way today in many ways as they did back then in Roman times and Greek times. But this is a classic, Peter Ustinov, and this is accurate. Nero thought he was a composer, and here he is serenading people.
You promised to sing, or I would not be here.
I'm totally unprepared, so I must compose as I sing. Oh, oh, lambent flame. Oh, oh, force divine. Oh, omnivorous power, hail. None is there swifter to bring destruction. Yet carefree as a child, thou with wild breezes playing. The old Troy shall be no more because of thee. Thou harvester that strips the soil for men to sow new crops. Oh, 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 lambent flames. Oh, 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 force divine. Oh, omnivorous power.
You must be content with that, my throat.
Well, Nero married his boyfriend. He was also married to Agrippina, who he had murdered, and he had murdered quite a few. He blamed the failure of his urban renewal. He blamed it on the Christians and had the threw him to the lions and set him on fire in the Colosseum. And eventually the Praetorian Guard got tired of him, and they assassinated him. That was the fate of many Roman emperors. Among the deaths today also. Now, oh, the other interesting thing about Peter Ustinov, his grandmother was Ethiopian. And, of course, you know, the African connection to Russia through Peter the Great, Alexander Pushkin. So it's quite interesting, considering during the communist period of Stalin, when he ruled Russia brutally, American blacks would go over there thinking that it was a utopia where they would have equality and civil rights, but they were discriminated against, too. Paul Robeson made the mistake of going over there and embracing communism. He was a brilliant man, one of the best singers, one of the best black singers in history, football player. He had a law degree from Columbia University, but he was discriminated against, but he didn't deal with the cards and the hand that was dealt him, as Rose D'Aquino did, and that's a famous phrase of hers. Among the other deaths today, in 1870, one of the great English novelists wrote about the horrible conditions of the poor in England, Charles Dickens. We know him mostly from The Christmas Carol. Among the events today, it's important in Canadian history, the French explorer in 1534, Jacques Cartier, discovered the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. Now, that is significant. The St. Lawrence River became the St. Lawrence Seaway in the Eisenhower administration, and the man who did the U.S. Army engineer who did the American side was General Philip Berrigan, and we did the rare interview he did with me before he died. The first Catholic bishop named here in the United States was John Carroll, and, of course, that was in Maryland, which was, quote, the Catholic state. Pennsylvania was the Quaker state. And then if you wear a denture in 1822, Robert, I can't read his name, but his false teeth were patented for the first time. Excuse me. And if you've been to Chicago and you rode what is called the L in 1851, Chicago became, 1883 Chicago produced the first electric railroad, which was a week, if you're from Chicago and been there, it's called the L. And then, of course, you have New York's transit and other transits around the country. excuse me. Also, we have a federal corruption probe going on here, and it's indicted an Asian guy who emigrated from China. He emigrated legally. Leland Yee, who was a psychologist and who supported pedophilia programs in the San Francisco School District. He was also involved in the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, which is alderman or city councilman, is known back east. Anyway, he was involved in the public corruption scandals involving non-accountability for the millions of dollars of federal poverty funds that came into San Francisco. But corruption is nothing new to San Francisco and the Bay Area, California. In 1851, people got tired of all the corruption, and a committee called the San Francisco Committee of Vigilance. If you come to San Francisco, and I think I'll put this up on our famous and infamous sites, where the cable cars end on Leavenworth, which is also the name of a federal prison in Kansas, down at the bottom of the bay were the stocks. And the hanging stocks where the San Francisco Committee vigilantes would hold these rump trials, and those who were judged guilty were hung down there. They were buried in Mission Dolores. Quite an interesting history. And we'll have more since people will be coming to San Francisco for the summer. Our weather is better than back east. In 1898, China, which was the Manchu dynasty, was dying, and so they gave the British, who introduced opium from India into China. This opium was a capital offense. If you caught smoke or you were dealing opium, you were executed and sometimes got the death of 1,000 cuts, which is interesting. Anyway, the British, through their rampant mercantilism, seized Hong Kong. And got a 100-year lease on Hong Kong, and then that was turned back to China in 1998. 1940, Norway surrendered to the Nazis, to the Wehrmacht, and Hitler. And what happened out of that came a guy named Vidkun Quisling, who betrayed his country. He was a Norwegian, and of course, because of his treachery, his name has become part of the political lexicon. A Quisling is somebody who's fifth columnist and a traitor to his native country and who betrays his country. 1943, there was income tax was a law was passed, pay as you go. They don't do that now. 1954, of course, we had the McCarthy hearings. Senator McCarthy and that famous phrase, "Senator, have you no sense of decency?" And of course, in 1969, Chief Justice Earl Warren was Scandinavian heritage and was governor of California, attorney general of California, and he was one of the people asking FDR during the beginning of World War II to imprison the Japanese. And so he became Chief Justice and turned out to be quite a liberal. In 1969, he retired, and Warren Burger was appointed Chief Justice by Nixon, and Berger's associate, another judge, Harry Blackmun, so they were known as the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, we've had this controversy about California Chrome. The last horse to win the Triple Crown was Secretariat, Great Horse, in 1973. Now, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site where we'll be putting up new stuff. Also, there's a new device out to prevent, to help protect your car from auto thieves. It's a device that covers your entire steering wheel, because what happens is the steering wheel is cut, and the club, it's easier to take the club off. The club does not protect you as this device would. It comes out of England. It encloses in steel your entire steering wheel, and it's got a tamper-proof lock on it. And the pictures are up, and they'll be up on Facebook and Twitter and our YouTube site. So go to that later. We'll be back Wednesday. I hope I get my voice back. So it's Peter Paul Brazola, and we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Excuse me. So here we go. Politics and poker. Where are we? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up some cards and find a joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a buck! That's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
We'll be back Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Stay safe and have a good night. Good night.